Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. As usual, I will be reading from the New King James Version, and let's start at verse 11. And there the Bible says, "Then he said, certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.'" Verse 31, "And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" May God bless the reading of his word. I want to call your attention to verse 18. Verse 18 starts with eight words from the younger son that I want us to focus on this morning. "I will arise and go to my father." And for the next 20 minutes or so this Father's Day, I want to use as the sermon title, "I will arise and go to my Father." I will arise and go to my Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you because we can arise and we can come to you. You made it possible for that to happen. And thank you, Lord God, for your power for us to arise, and thank you, Lord God, for your power for us to come to you. I pray, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You probably have heard before the saying that we live in a fallen world. Now, when we talk about someone or something that has fallen spiritually, we are referring to that someone or something that has fallen short of God's standard of perfection. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we have lived in a fallen world. That is why the events in Genesis chapter 3 is known as the fall. Now, it's one thing to fall down spiritually, but it is an entirely different thing to stay down spiritually. Now, we cannot change the fact that the world in which we live is fallen and ruled by sin. That is what it is. But what we can be thankful for is that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, lifting up those that are fallen. And because of this grace, we can be thankful that falling down does not mean staying down. And that brings us to this verse here of Scripture in Luke chapter 15. Now, here in Luke chapter 15, Jesus is telling a parable. A parable is a short story that conveys a spiritual truth. And in this parable, Jesus speaks about a rich man who was the father to two sons. Between the two sons, the father divided his estate after the younger son asked for his share of the estate. The younger son was apparently not married when he asked his father for his share of the inheritance. Now, even back in the day, this kind of request for the inheritance before a father's death was unusual. Back then and even now, an inheritance is transferred after death, not before. So really what the younger son was essentially telling his father, I want your stuff, but I don't want you. Yet the father honored his younger son's free will and choice to do right or wrong. Just like our Heavenly Father, this father in the parable was not trying to force his children to love him and to be faithful to him. The Bible says in verse 13 that the younger son got the inheritance and then moved away into a far country, while the younger son stayed at home, or while the older son stayed at home with his father. The Bible says that while he was gone, the younger son squandered his wealth with foolish living. It was apparent that if this younger son was living today and had a checking account, the checking account would have had one big deposit from his father, followed by debit after debit after debit after debit by the younger son. And making matters worse, we see in verse 14 that a famine occurred where this younger son was, and he began to be without any of his basic needs being able to be met. He had spent all of his money, and he had nothing else. The Bible says in verse 15 that the younger son started working a job where he fed pigs. His situation became so dire that he fell into a state of despair. And the Bible says in verse 16 that he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods, with the slop that the swine ate, and no one was trying to give him anything. The Bible says in verse 17 that the young man came to himself. In other words, the reality of the situation he was in occurred to him. We're talking this morning from the theme, I will arise and go to my father. Now, first, the young man realized that he was down. What was supposed to sustain him, the young man, for a lifetime, the inheritance, he allowed it to be depleted in a short amount of time. It doesn't take long to squander a blessing when you're not in the will of God. It doesn't take long to find yourself without anything and to find yourself down and nowhere to go but up. The younger son absolutely determined within himself, I will arise. In other words, I will not stay here feeding pigs. I will not stay here hungry and desiring to eat the slop these people want me to give to their pigs. There is something better. I may be down, but I will not stay down. Down is not my destiny. I will arise. And this parable, though it dates back to a time over 2,000 years ago, this is an example for someone today. Because you may be down, but if you absolutely determine that you will not stay down, you will arise. down is not your destiny. You can arise and you will arise. But realizing that you're down, take some honest assessments about why you went down and about what it takes to get back up. Getting up is about changing your mind and recognizing that, hey, I am down, and hey, I need to get back up. The Bible uses a familiar word for this process, and that word is repentance. Repentance means a sincere turning away in both the heart and the mind from self to God. Repentance involves a change of mind that leads to action. But after repentance, there is still a life to lead. After repentance, there is still a path to go down. After repentance, there are still choices and decisions to be made about everyday life. The young man in the parable realized that he was down. He repented. But then he realized that once he got back up, once he repented, that there was somewhere that he needed to go. The young man realized that he needed to start heading back to where his father was, where he was supposed to be with his father. The young man realized that he was not properly positioned. The young man realized that he had distanced himself from his father. The young man realized that he needed to embark on returning to the only one who genuinely loved him and that had provided for him, even when he was squandering everything his father had given him. So after he said, "I will arise," the young man knew where he needed to go after he got up. He then said, "And I will go to my father." Notice that he did not say, "I will go to my own country." Notice that he did not say, "I will go back to my home." Notice that he did not say, "I will go back to the life that I once knew." He said that, "I will go to my father." You know, there's something crucial in this Christian life that we live about not just knowing where you are going, but knowing to whom you're going to. You know, not long ago, I was reading this article about this Christian rapper named Shy Lin. He has a rap song called "My Portion." And there is a part in the lyrics of this song, "My Portion," that says, "I'm lifting up my hands and I'm raising my voice. Even though the world thinks I made the craziest choice, they can mock all they want. Lord, I do not care. And I do not want to go to heaven if God is not there." You know, as I said before, there is something crucial about not just knowing where you are going, but knowing to whom you are going to. We know about heaven. Heaven is a place filled with mansions. Heaven is filled with costly stones. Heaven is where the Garden of Eden is restored and available, where the Tree of Life is available once again, yielding fruit monthly with leaves that heal the nations. But with all its beauty, I do not want to go to heaven because of that. I want to go because that's where God, my heavenly Father, resides. I do not want to go to heaven if God is not there. We're talking this morning from the theme, "I will arise and go to my Father." And so as I move to my conclusion, there are not 3 points to this message this morning. There's just one point, that this life should be about arising and then moving closer and closer to the Father. I will arise and go to my Father. Not a life about falling down and staying down. Not a life about just continuing to stay in the place where I am, but a life about getting up and staying perpetually on a path that heads back to our Heavenly Father. And heading back to the Father is not easy. The young man in the parable had to undertake a journey to get back to the Father. And we are undertaking and need to undertake a journey to get back to the Heavenly Father. Yet through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I know we often talk about heaven, and that is just fine, but it is important to be crystal clear about why we are talking about heaven, because heaven is only heaven because of who resides there, the Father. I cannot speak for anyone else, but I want to go to heaven, not because of its splendor. I want to go to heaven because my God, my Heavenly Father, is there. And I do not want to go to heaven if God is not there. And if you are at this moment disconnected from your Heavenly Father, if you are in a unsaved or in a backslidden condition, it is decision time. You are in a fallen state, but it is not too late. You can arise and go to your Heavenly Father. And if you are saved today, yes, you have gotten back up, and yes, you are on your way back home to your Heavenly Father, but let us leave this call determined to help everyone along the way. Leave determined to help those that are fallen arise and help those that are also on the path of returning to their Heavenly Father. Now in the parable, there was an older brother as well. That older brother in the parable stayed outside, and that older brother did not want to celebrate the return of his younger brother. Down in verse 30, while talking to his father, he called the younger brother, "That son of yours." He did not even want to acknowledge the younger brother as his brother. But I thank God that there is another older brother. And I just want to talk about him for a moment. His name is Jesus. This older brother came down through 42 generations to a fallen mankind. He gave his life on a cross that we might have life, and he arose from the dead with all power and glory that we might be reconciled to the Father. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And that adoption begins when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And on the last day, the day of judgment, on that great getting up morning when all of God's children get together, everyone will see and know this older brother who is named Jesus. The Bible says that this older brother will not wait outside of his father's house while the others are inside. This older brother, he'll will himself descend from his father's house with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and those alive on that day, and those that have already died, all of them who trusted in Jesus will all be caught up and will meet him, this older brother, in the air and will forever be with the Lord. And that is why we can all say, "I will arise and go to my Father." Because on that great getting up morning, this older brother will come and will raise you up. This older brother will not wait outside. This older brother will cause us to arise. And he won't just stay outside while the party is going on. He will escort all on in to the Father's house. And when we get to the Father, we shall behold him. Because now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see him face to face. And the celebration that they had in the parable will pale in comparison to the celebration that awaits the children of God. I will arise and go to my Father. May God bless you and keep you this Father's Day, and may God bless the preaching and teaching of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for the power to arise. We thank you, Lord God, that we can arise and that we can return to you. And so, Father, I pray, Lord God, that if there's any on this call that do not know you in the way of their sin, that may be in a backslidden condition, that they can know that they can arise and that they can return to you. And that those of us, Lord God, that are walking this walk, those of us that are arisen and that are walking and are on our way, Lord God, to you, let's help each other along the way, Lord God, and help us, Lord God, to know how to help each other as we walk along the way. God, I thank you for your word and for the power of your word. It is your word that gives us direction. It is your word that gives us the marching orders. It is your word that encourages us to know that we will arise and will return to you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.